So I don't know about that song we just sang, but is anyone else ready for those green buds to start emerging? We've had more winter than we had all of last winter already, so glad that you're here, glad that you're warm, glad that you're safe, and I hope that your new year is off to a good start. Before I get into my message, just want to lay a little bit of groundwork. One of the things that our new bishop, Bishop Julius Trimble, is making a striving for and pushing the churches in our conference to do is that they have a goal that all United Methodist churches in Indiana will be missional churches. And that word missional is one that our leadership and the council meetings have talked about. I've done some devotions about that from the book that the conference is using, but excuse me, part of it is helpful for us to have an understanding of what missional means. And so the working definition that our conference is using is that missional people are people who live their lives as though they are sent. And while they don't necessarily put that in there, I guess to be clear, that missional people are people who live their lives as though they are sent by God to live and do the things that they do. And a missional church is then one that sends its people. Missional churches send their people into the world. And so we're going to spend the next couple of weeks looking at and reflecting on what that means, but to get there, we need to start at the beginning, and so that's where we find ourselves this morning. Will you pray with me? Most gracious God, we come to this place, a new year, for many an opportunity for a new beginning or new opportunities. A way to look back on the year behind us and be grateful for the blessings in it, but for some, an opportunity to say thank you. We're glad those things are behind us and we're ready to move forward. So whatever moment, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in right now, whether we're ready for it or not, we're moving into this year. And we'd pray, God, that as we do so, your Spirit would go before us and go with us. And help us to recognize how you are working and moving and shaping us to be your people, to be your church. So as your Spirit stirs in our hearts and within this church, we pray that as your scriptures are read and are now proclaimed, that the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when I was in high school, I was in Boy Scouts. We'd been on summer vacation to Colorado, and one of the things that we saw while we were there was the United States Air Force Academy. And there was a part of me that thought, boy, I really want to go here. And I think it was probably about the same time that the movie Top Gun came out. And I really had it in my mind that, man, that'd be kind of cool to fly for the Air Force. So in addition to all of my other activities and things that I was going on, I joined the Civil Air Patrol. And if you're not familiar, the Civil Air Patrol is kind of like a Boy Scout version of the Air Force. And it happened at the Air Reserve Base at the airport in Fort Wayne. And they had reserve personnel that kind of led it. And basically, it was a primer. And you learned the basics of air flight. And we had uniforms. And we practiced marching and going through drills. And so it was kind of boot camp light because we just did it one night a week. But they also had a small airplane that we got to start going out and flying in, and along with the pilot. But part of it was that, you know, at some point they would, you know, kind of say, okay, go ahead and put your hands on the yoke and things. But one of the things that I took away from that is the amount of effort and work that happens before you even turn the plane on. And they call it pre-flight. Do we have any pilots here? I don't know. I'm not aware of any in our congregation. Okay. So Burl flew. So you had a pretty extensive checklist of all the things you had to go through, right? You got to make sure that the plane's in good working condition, that everything's functioning, that everything's where it's supposed to be, that nothing's leaking or dripping and all of that. And so you go through all of those things, before you even start the plane up, before you leave the ground, you're checking to make sure that everything is ready. I'd forgotten about that until a couple years ago. A friend of mine that's a pastor in our conference is a pilot and has a plane as well, and we actually had a meeting that we were going to, and so he flew up to Marion and picked me up, and we flew to southern Indiana, and boy, it was a lot better than the three-hour drive, but as he landed, and even before we took off again, he had his list of everything that he was going through, and I forgot about how important that was. Well, when we think about being a missional church, there's some pre-flight stuff that we do. There are some things that we do before we actually go out into the world to be sent. And a big part of that is the recognition and understanding of who we are as God's people, that God has put a calling in our lives, that God has called us into a relationship. And it is because of that relationship that we can then be sent. Now, this morning we're going to have an opportunity to reaffirm our baptism. We're going to have an opportunity to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. But these waters of baptism are a key part of that. We heard in our text this morning about Jesus going to the Jordan and being baptized by John. Now, as our understanding of baptism is, and it's said that John's baptism was one of repentance, and people were coming in droves to be baptized, to have their sins washed away, to be cleansed and set right with God. And when we think about who Jesus is, there's a part of us, at least for me, that thinks, well, what did Jesus need to do that for? But I think it's an important step, because when you look at our understanding of who we understand Jesus to be and what Jesus means to the world and to the church today, together we're a party of the body of Christ. And so if Jesus went to those waters to be baptized, and through that outpouring of water and the outpouring of God's Spirit, when we hear of that dove descending and that affirmation saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with Him I am well pleased," we're a part of the body of Christ. And that affirmation that Jesus that had spoken over Him is the affirmation that's spoken over us as well. And so, baptism is that way in which we are initiated into the church, that we make that visible outward sign that we're a part of the family. But baptism isn't a destination. We don't come to baptism and have water poured on us or splashed on us or be dunked under the water and come back up and say, okay, that's done, moving on, new things. Baptism, in a lot of ways, is our pre-flight. It's the things that we do leading up to that point of having that recognition, that understanding, that awareness that we're a child of God. And that through baptism, our checklist is completed. Excuse me. And we find ourselves in a position that we have to respond. That God has put His seal on us, that God has wrapped His arm around us, that God has welcomed us, however we want to understand baptism. But we're now a part of the family. And it's not that, okay, we've been here, we've done this, we can move on, but rather, all right, our checklist is complete. It's time for us to be sent. Now, some of the conversations that we've had in the leadership at Central and part of the conversations we're going to be having as a congregation are, what does that mean for us as a congregation to be sent? Big part of it is that it means taking our faith, taking the things that we believe, but more importantly, taking those commandments to love one another out into this world and to demonstrate and make that love of God real for other people. We do that through acts of service. We do that when we go and are just welcoming and kind to the stranger around us. We do that in many ways, and many of you probably are already doing those things. But part of it is that we need to be more conscientious, more intentional about that. And part of it that we need to recognize and understand, because I've had some questions about what does it mean for us to go into the neighborhood, to go into the community, to go into the world? understand that being missional isn't about kicking everybody out of the church and saying, okay, fly little bird, you're on your own now. But rather, it's because of the pre-flight things that we do as the community of faith, that we come together to worship and praise God. Hopefully, we come to be inspired. We come together to learn, to pray, to grow, to support one another, to know that we're not alone. We do those things within this community so that we have that pre-flight complete and are better equipped and ready to go and be the body of Christ for the world around us. And so, as missional people, what would it mean for you to begin living your life as though you are sent? Some of you may have a very clear sense of this already. Just yesterday, we were in here and having Mike Hinshaw's memorial service, and particularly hearing all of the stories of how he impacted people's lives through his medical practice and through the skill and the compassion that he brought to that. I made the observation that Mike lived as one who was sent. That it wasn't just a job for him. It wasn't just clock in, do what he had to do, and get done and be gone. He invested himself in it. He poured himself into it. And I've met other people in my ministry that the work that they do is something that isn't just a job. It isn't just something that pays the bills. It's something that they feel like God has sent them to do in this world. We often think that when God sends people, it's specifically related to church things, to preaching, to teaching, to being missionaries and things like that. But God sends people to so many places. And it could be that you're already there. It could be that what you're doing is what God has sent you to do, even though you haven't necessarily made that mental connection. Or maybe it means that there is a change that you need to make and say, you know what, I felt like God's been nudging me this way and I've been fighting it and resisting it. Maybe I need to have a little more time to reflect upon and think about, okay, so what is it that God is having me to do? So as a missional people, we may do these things individually. It may be in your home, it may be in a place you volunteer, it may be in a place that you actually go to and work and get a paycheck. You might do it as a group that goes out. You might go with just another person. It might be something your family does together. And it's not just going to be one thing. That this idea of God sending us and living our lives in that way doesn't mean that we see one thing and say, okay, we're going to go and do that and be done. But rather, it's a journey of sending. That we may find that there's a place that we go, and we go again, and we go again. There may be other times where we go, and that's the only time we ever are there. Regardless, God is sending people into this world. And as a missional church, part of our job is to look at how can we better equip people to be sent. How can we, as a church, be a place in which we encourage and support those who are being sent and help them to do so with confidence? In the Gospels, there's a story of Jesus sending out the 72, and he sent them in pairs. And he told them, don't take much with you, but go. I don't know how much pre-flight prep he did with them, but one thing is certain. They understood who Jesus was. They understood their relationship with him, and because of that, they listened, they trusted, and they went. Baptism is our initiation into this. What sustains us, what fuels us, are the ways in which that relationship that we have with Jesus continues to grow and to develop. It's the ways that we explore and learn and grow and become more of the person that God created us to be. We're sustained through this sacrament of Holy Communion, where we come and we're reminded again that God has given God's self for each and every one of us. That we're invited to come and to receive and to take figuratively, literally, however you imagine it, to take him into us, that he might be incorporated into our very being, that we would become living embodiments of Jesus Christ in this world. I think I've shared this with you before, but the name Christian literally means little Christ. As disciples, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we are to be little Christ. So as Christ received God's affirmation and blessing at his baptism, this morning we're going to reaffirm our baptism and be reminded that as little Christ, we're baptized, and through receiving baptism, we accept a job to do, which is to go wherever God leads, but trusting that he'll be with us. Amen.